patient influence the lives of Endolites for the kingdom. Many little things added together to count for much. She treated everyone kindly, out of a pure heart of love. She was generous to those in need, and she was resolute in her firm stance for the truth. Now, Selfish, it is time to give an account of your stewardship.
True, but that's because I've matured past any selfishness. I'm compassionate.
Oh, that's why you organized that clothing drive for the needy?
Exactly.
Right before the class elections.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. No.
I'm not sure, but I've always loved cooking.
Start a restaurant. With Jaylen's wisdom, you'll do just fine.
Hold on. That was a good thing I did. At least I did that one right.
He's too drunk to move.
Oh, I did something good here as well.
We've got to carry him down the mountain.
If we cross paths with anybody, please, don't tell them that I was in the company of people who drank Avia. Please.
Oh, Selfish.
I forgot about that part.
Meantime, for the good of the community and the citizens of Indel, I cast my vote for the Forest Hill Lumber Company.
Oh. Selfish, I can see the good you have done in my name. But now we come to the end, my son. And I see much of your life was motivated by your own protection, reputation, and self-seeking motives. And this is my judgment.
Lord Jaylen, I am so sorry. I deserve to be punished for the rest of my life. I deserve loan. I've wasted so much and produced so little in return for talents and responsibilities you've given me. I plead for your mercy, Jaylen, but I know I deserve nothing.
Is the name of Selfish found in the Book of Life?
Yes, my lord.
Selfish, you are my servant. You believed in me and submitted to my lordship, even though you wasted so much. I love you.
Lord?
And I welcome you into my kingdom for the rest of your life.
What? Oh, King Jaylen. Thank you for your mercy. What amazing love for me.
Selfish, you shall no longer be known by your former name. Behold, I give you a new name. In my kingdom, you shall be known as Unpretentious. I have prepared a residence for you in the Flatlands, and your occupation will be a landscaper. Though you will not be a ruler in this city, you will assist me in ruling the outer realms.
Rule? With you?
You will not be a leader in the city of Aphabel itself. However, as every other citizen in this city, you will assist me in administering my rule globally. Your specific assignment is to lead through serving and training all the landscapers of the 20 cities of the continent of Ben-Gila.
Thank you, my lord.
Now, come with me. This is a piece of fruit from the Tree of Life. Take and eat.
This is the most delicious food I've ever tasted. It's almost as if it's making my mind and heart clear and clean. This is the same Tree of Life spoken of in the ancient writings.
Turn Unpretentious and face your family.
Yes, Unpretentious, you can now hear my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of my acceptance and my delight in you. We will do much together.
Thank you, King Jaylen. Thank you.
Oh, rise, Unpretentious. Welcome, my son.
Thank you.
Hear ye, hear ye. The next to be summoned before the great King Jaylen in the Hall of Judgment is... Deceived!
That's me. That's... me.
You'll be fine.
You're right. Of course. I'll be fine. Thank you, Fadeheart. So long, Charity. Sagus, it's you, my old teacher. Well, thanks for the grand old welcome, sir.
Hello, Deceived.
Well, then, off we go.
What? It's getting late.
No, hold on. You aren't just gonna leave it right there, are you? I mean, come on, what happened to Deceived? And Faintheart? Charity? No, you aren't gonna leave me hanging like this. Sagus? Sagus?
Oh, Peter. This last part of the story may be a little intense for you. Are you sure you're ready?
I'm a war correspondent. Hit me.
Very well, then. I'll hit you. The Hall of Judgment. The place of deepest triumph and yet the darkest tragedy. The place of entry to Athabel and yet the place of exit to Lone. Of the five, there were now three left to stand before Jaylen. What now lay in store for Deceived, Faintheart, and Charity would startle each one of them to their very soul and reverberate through each of their eternities in very different ways. Deceived was escorted by the Royal Guard into the Great Hall of Judgment. I walked beside him as we trod along the long aisle toward the throne.
Just look at this place, Sagus. I've never seen anything like it. It's so enormous. So majestic. Is that Ruthless? What is he doing here? He was one of the most wicked men in all of Endel.
You may speak with him if you wish.
Yes, thank you. Ruthless?
Ah, hello, Deceived. My name was Ruthless, but Lord Jaylen changed my name to Reconciled.
Nice. But you never went to school, and you opposed Jaylen more than anyone I knew.
True. But all along, I hated who I was and what I did. Since I failed to attend school, I never heard about the ancient writings or about the life Jaylen offered. I went for a meal at Charity's restaurant. I had no idea I had only 1 week left before I faced judgment.
Ruthless?
What?
I know you've been going through some challenging times lately.
That's none of your concern.
Actually, it is. And I was wondering if I could pay for your meal.
Of course! I'll take a free meal.
On one condition.
Always a catch.
That you'll stay and talk with me?
I suppose I can put up with your jabbering for a free meal.
Not jabbering. An honest conversation.
Bring on the food.
Ruthless, I would like to tell you about Jaylen.
Uh-huh. And I would like to tell you about what I want to eat. I was rude. But she was determined. She told me it wasn't too late for me to give my life to Jaylen. As vile as I was, for the first time, I felt hope penetrate my dark soul. Charity said I could be forgiven, unconditionally, and accepted as a citizen in Jaylen's kingdom. When that reality struck me, I bowed my head. I cried. Me. Ruthless, right there in the middle of the restaurant.
Unbelievable.
I was overcome by Jaylen's love for me. I accepted his forgiveness, and I pledged the rest of my life to his lordship. Though I was only able to serve him for 1 week in Endel, I did so with all my heart. I went to those I had oppressed or stolen from and asked their forgiveness. I gave back more than what I'd taken.
And now you're reconciled.
We must move on.
Oh, yes, of course. So long then, reconciled.
Farewell.
You know, Sages, I feel so much better now. If Jaylen can accept Ruthless, surely he'll accept me. After all, I strongly believed in Jaylen for such a long time. Much longer than Ruthless. Sages?
You must now approach the throne of Jaylen alone.
But... alone?
And I recommend that you bow.
King Jaylen, I bow before you.
Deceived. It is time to give an account of your stewardship.
This is amazing. My entire life. Oh, my entire life.
In your dreams.
I have found that Jaylen is a king of great grace. Without his grace, I'm done for. But I don't worry about it that much. After all, Jaylen wants us to have a grand time here in Endel. That's what forgiveness is for. And I'm counting on Jaylen to give me a wondrous name, such as Enlightened or Wise. No, I don't want anybody to see this.
Well, hello there. I should like to get to know you. I would say you and I could have a lot of fun, huh?
Please, don't want to see you.
After graduation, I remember several days of parties and celebrations. And then, I slept with a girl and, well, she became pregnant.
Sounds to me as if you weren't following King Jaylen's rules.
He knows I'm not perfect. That's why he's so full of grace. As long as I continue to give him my allegiance and refrain from hurting anyone too badly, it's all gonna work out just fine. I have made a mess of things, sir. But please remember, through it all, I believed in you.
Is the name of Deceived found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
What?
Deceived, you are guilty of denying me.
Denying you?
You are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone, to spend the rest of your life in the torment of utter darkness, hopelessness, and loneliness.
Well, this can't... No, no, this is a mistake. A colossal, horrific mistake. Jaylen, I believe in you. You know that. How have I denied you?
Did you not listen when your teachers warned of those who claim they know Jaylen, but deny him by the way they live?
But, great king, I attended your school. Sages here can testify to that. I was faithful in all my classes. I was involved in many, many school activities. I even called you Lord.
Why do you call me Lord and yet you fail to do what I told you? My words have already warned you when I said many will refer to me as Lord, but be denied citizenship in Aphabel. For the decisive question is whether they obey my father. Here at the judgment, many tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you and used your name. But I must reply, you have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil.
But I had faith! I believed in you! According to your word, I should be saved!
Sages, read to Deceived what you taught him in your class.
From the ancient writings. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the use of saying you have faith if you neglect to prove it by your actions? That kind of faith cannot save anyone. It isn't enough to have faith alone. Faith that fails to show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless.
Deceived, it is not enough to say you believe. Those who truly believe will exhibit a changed nature, and no longer produce the fruit of evil. But you continue to bear the fruit of the Dark Lord Dagon. Evidence that you never truly committed yourself to me from your heart.
But what about him back there? The one called Ruthless? I was better than him! How could you let him in and keep me out? You are judging me unfairly!
Am I the one who is unfair, or is it you? You were taught if a wicked person turns away from his wickedness and obeys the law and does right, he shall save his soul. For he has thought it over and decided to turn from his sins and live a good life. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Ruthless followed that path, laid out in the ancient writings. You did not.
But I talk to many people about you, constantly. You know this. I even volunteered to teach at your school.
Recite my laws no longer and stop claiming my promises. For you have refused my discipline, disregarding my laws. You see a thief and help him, and spend your time with evil and immoral men. You curse and lie, and vile language streams from your mouth. You slander your own brother. I remain silent. You thought I didn't care. But now your time of punishment has come, and I list all the above charges against you. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Get away from me! Stop! You're a wicked tyrant, Jalen! A wicked, dishonest tyrant! No! Sages! You cannot let them do this to me! Stop them, please!
Oh, deceived. The judgment of King Jalen is just. And final.
Let go of me! Come on! What's wrong with everybody? I'm not...
Slay!
Sages.
Yes, my lord.
There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness.
Charity, I think that's him there. Sages.
Charity, faint heart.
I'd heard you were here. Please, tell us, how is Independent and selfish and deceived? Sages, what's wrong?
All will be revealed in time.
What do you mean?
Hear ye, hear ye. The next to be summoned before the great King Jalen in the Hall of Judgment is... Faintheart!
It's my time.
Come, Faintheart.
Farewell, Charity. Goodbye, my friend. Oh! I have heard those doors shut many times today. And every time it unnerves me. Sages, I see many wealthy people here. How could the rich be in such places of honor?
It is not a matter of riches. It is a matter of the heart.
No! I cannot believe this! That's double life! How did he weasel his way in here? I don't understand. Does Jalen know what he did?
All will be revealed in time.
I certainly hope so. There it is. The throne of Jalen. And I see some of my teachers in those thrones around him.
It is now time for you to approach the throne alone, Faintheart.
It's all right. I understand. King Jalen. My great king.
Faintheart. It is time to give an account of your stewardship.
I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate how you participate in class. And I want you to know that all your volunteer work and your extra studies are not going unnoticed.
I see you as a leader, Faintheart. You show great promise.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was one of the happiest memories I ever had.
Slander has been talking about you? What do you mean? Well, she told the headmaster yesterday that you slept with one of the students.
What?
Well, I heard a rumor that she's applying for the same job as you.
How could she be so treacherous? She betrayed me. Oh, she is going to pay.
Unforgiveness is fertile soil for the root of bitterness. A root that can strangle your heart.
You know, Slander, I don't believe I could ever forgive you.
Faintheart, may I?
Don't ask. Oh, no. I don't want to see this. No. No, this is not right. We shouldn't.
Yes, you're right. We shouldn't.
But I want to.
Come.
This is so humiliating. Allow me to give you a little clue. Since you seem to be having a sudden attack of stupidity, I'll give you two words. One, slander.
Slander?
And two, affair.
You are very mistaken.
There is no mistaking. I saw you two together last night. I gave you everything I had, and this is what you give me in return? And with slander of all people!
And did you ever forgive Double Life?
I'm sorry?
Did you ever forgive Double Life for what he did to you?
Did you see what he did to me? He wrecked my life.
What he did to you was the worst of evil. But that wasn't what wrecked your life. It was your unforgiveness. You were taught at Endel that if you refused to forgive others, then I would refuse to forgive you.
How could you have allowed a leech like that into the school in the first place?
I never allow more temptation than you are able to bear. You fell, but worse. You never repented.
Me repent? It was Double Life. He should be judged. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. That is not my place. I know. But King Jalen, please. Please remember how much I committed myself to you. Please.
Is Faintheart's name to be found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
No? No? What do you mean my name is not found in the Book of Life?
Faintheart, you are guilty of falling away from righteousness and denying me by treason. And are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone.
No!
To spend the rest of your life in torment of utter darkness, hopelessness, and loneliness.
No. No, this can't be true. Lord Jalen, I believed in you. This was clearly shown as you looked over my life just now, and I have had a good life to back my beliefs. Yes, my heart became hardened, but that wasn't my fault. It was Slander's fault and Double Life's fault!
Did you forget my warnings through your teachers? Such will be the spread of evil that many people's love will grow cold. But whoever holds out to the end will be saved. You did not endure to the end.
But Lord Jalen, I always believed that once a person was saved, they would always be saved and could never lose that salvation. Even some of the teachers proclaimed this. According to them, no one could pluck me out of your hand.
Yes, this is true. No one can pluck you out of my hand. But I never said you could not walk away. You alone hold that power. Sages?
If people have escaped from the corrupting forces of the world through their knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jalen, and then are again caught and conquered by them, such people are in worse condition at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been much better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and then turn away from the sacred command that was given them.
I said it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness because they are now worse off than before being saved. How could you believe it was impossible to lose salvation? If it could never be lost, then how could they be worse off than before? Why did you listen to teachers who taught contrary to what my words stated? I recorded it carefully, so all could know the way of righteousness. Why did you allow yourself to be deceived? If you had believed what I said, you would have confronted the bitterness in your heart. Instead, because of your false comfort of unconditional security, you allowed that bitterness to grow unchecked. And now you face a judgment that could have been averted.
But I did so much good in Endel.
I clearly stated through my prophet, if righteous people turn to sinful ways and start acting like other sinners, should they be allowed to live? No, of course not. All their previous goodness will be forgotten, and they will die for their sins. Yet you say the Lord isn't being just. Listen to me. Am I the one who is unjust, or is it you? When righteous people turn from being good and start doing sinful things, they will die for it. Yes, they will die because of their sinful deeds. It is just as it was written. Your goodness and righteous acts are forgotten and will not be credited to you.
But Lord, you said if I confessed you as my Savior, my name would be written in the Book of Life. How is it possible? My name is no longer there.
Those who endure all the way to the judgment are those who overcome. And I clearly said, he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the Book of Life. If I stated, I will not erase the name of the overcomer, it is clear that a name can be erased. Otherwise, I would have said, if you confess me as Lord, your name will be forever secured in the Book of Life.
But how can you send me alone?
Sages, read the ancient writings which have been made known to the citizens of Endel.
A man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead.
Bind her hand and foot. Take her away and cast her into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
No.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
How can you do this to me? You treacherous king! You vile, treacherous king! I curse you! I curse you!
Sages, for the sake of those gathered here.
Yes, my lord. From the ancient writings, dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received a full knowledge of the truth, there is no other sacrifice that will cover these sins. There will be nothing to look forward to but the terrible expectation of Jaylen's judgment.
Double life! You have been summoned already so you could witness the destruction of one whom I had entrusted to you. Come now to my throne.
Oh, my lord.
Stand! Guards! Bring him to his feet. Is Double Life's name found in the Book of Life?
No, my lord.
Double Life, you are guilty of treason, of falling away from righteousness, of becoming a stumbling block. You are to be taken to the forsaken land of Lone
where you will receive the greatest punishment and torments.
Lord, the greatest punishment? But I was a teacher in your school. I gave my life for your cause.
You were a teacher, but did you not read from the books you taught? Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the school, for we who teach will be judged by Jaylin with greater strictness.
But Lord...
You caused many of my little ones to stumble and fall permanently. Faintheart is just one example. She was entrusted to your care. I gave you authority to protect her, not to use her for your own purposes. You exploited your influence to satiate your lust and violate her and others. She was already wounded by a sister, and you, who should have brought healing, took advantage of her instead. You corrupted her faith, and now she has been sentenced to low. Surely you remember the warning I gave. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung round his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Bind him, hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
No! You will pay, Jaylin!
Get off me! True and just indeed are your judgments.
Stop the blubbering, will you? It's getting on my nerves.
Deceived, shut up.
Oh, so I'm gonna listen to the likes of you. Some kind of teacher you are. You ended up alone, of all places. Hello there, driver. Don't you have any water in this place? I'm thirsty here.
It's useless.
Oh, Mr. Independent, did I ask for your brilliant assessment of the situation? Driver!
I am not your driver. I am a servant of Jaylin, assigned to execute your judgment.
We're all thirsty, you idiot. And we will be for the rest of our days.
You brought me here to this awful place.
I believe you came here on your own accord, my dear.
No, you did this to me. You did this to me.
Go!
Getting what you deserve, oh great wise one.
Faintheart! Enough!
Something ahead. What is it?
It appears some sort of tower. Or cave.
Those are the caverns of Lone. Our new home.
Yeah!
Ever imagined.
So this is where I'll spend the rest of my life.
Out, all of you. Except for you.
Yes, I know.
I hope you die a thousand deaths. The first day.
And farewell to you also.
The gate is closing. We're gonna be in total darkness.
For the rest of our lives.
No! I can't see you! I can't see anything! Open the gate! Open that gate!
The greatest punishment, deepest darkness.
Out. out quickly. I cannot tolerate the stench of this wretched place much longer.
The smell is horrific. And it's so silent here.
Yes. And mine is the very last voice you will ever hear.
What? Wait! Come back! Come back! Please! No! 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 Come back!
Charity?
Sages!
I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
How is Faintheart?
All will be revealed in time.
Sages?
All in time. Oh, I see you've been reading.
Yes, I've never seen so many wonderful books, such as this one here, The Second Chronicle of Aphabel.
Charity, your king awaits you.
No. She gets the same treatment as everyone else.
Are you sure?
Go on.
Very well. hear ye. The next to be summoned before the great King Jalen in the Hall of Judgment is... Charity!
How was that? Much better, thank you. Charity, I believe your name has been called.
All right, then. Jalen. Oh, Sages, it's magnificent. Oh, the throne. Is that?
Yes, that is the throne of Jalen. Come.
These people, the way they're dressed and the way they stand, it's as if they're all kings and queens. And yet their eyes are so kind and so full of love. And excitement. I don't understand, Sages. They're all bowing as we pass by. Why?
All will be revealed in time.
I see so many people I know. Oh, I would love to visit.
Not yet.
Oh, it's Ruthless. Oh, please, Sages.
Very well.
Ruthless!
Charity!
No, Ruthless. Why would you bow to me?
There is a difference between worship and honor. Only the Lord is to be worshipped. But in this kingdom, we honor those who served us well in Endel and those who rule among us now. We didn't understand the importance of honor in Endel. Charity, thank you.
You're welcome.
If it had not been for your obedience to the king, I would never have been here. I would have been suffering in Lone at this very moment. I am first and foremost indebted and grateful to the king, but I am also grateful to you. It will be my pleasure to serve and honor you the rest of my life.
I didn't reach out to you in Endel so that you would serve me in return. I did it because I was worried about you.
And because of your heart, you will be greatly rewarded by the king. Jalen delights in those who reach out to others with his love. It was vital that we caught his heart while in Endel, not just his vision. You did both, dear sister, and your heart motives were imparted to me. This is why I reached out so passionately to so many during my last week in Endel. Now I have been rewarded handsomely for my labor, even though it was brief. All because of your service to me.
And I will be glad to serve you for the rest of my life.
You already speak as one who has lived in Aphabel for years. We live to serve one another in this great city. In fact, those of us who lead are the greatest servants here. We have the heaviest responsibilities, and yet it is our delight. The greatest joy of any citizen here is to serve. First our king, then our fellow citizens, especially those who touched us in Endel.
Oh, Ruthless, my dear brother.
Charity, my name is no longer Ruthless. but reconciled.
What a blessed name.
My dear sister, I'm proud of you. Go now to your king.
I do apologize, Sagus.
I accept. I had thought, is something the matter?
He's so beautiful. So majestic.
You may proceed up the stairway. I will leave you now.
My king.
Charity, my dear servant. Welcome to my kingdom. I've longed for this moment to meet you in person.
Sir, it is I who have longed so greatly for this very moment. You are my king.
I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your home. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me.
Lord, but I didn't do any of those things for you.
Whenever you did this for one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Charity, it is time now to give an account of your stewardship. You ministered to me by serving my people and obeying my laws. And now as I review your life, I examine each word, deed, thought, and motive of your heart. Everything is revealed. I see your service, your giving to the school, your love for your fellow citizens.
May I help?
I see you declining to take part in careless or inappropriate activities and discussions. And I see the persecutions you received because of your passion for me and my ways. I see your labor to bless others through the restaurant. I see your refusal to speak against your fellow citizens. Your refusal to gossip. And yes, Charity, I wept with you in those dark hours of the night when you longed for salvation for the lost.
I had no idea.
There were opportunities you missed, Charity. Errors you made in judgment and in action. Times you missed my voice. And this is my judgment.
Jalen, please forgive me. I'm sorry.
Rise, Charity. How many lives did Charity influence for my kingdom?
5,183, my lord. A little more than 1/6 of the population of the community.
Lord? How can this be?
Recall in the ancient writings that I promise to multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Your obedience to me enabled you to influence the masses, even though you weren't a recognized leader in the community. The ripple effects of what you did were astounding. As it is written, the benevolent one scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. A life submitted to me will result in a multiplying effect which no citizen is fully aware of until they stand before this judgment seat. For this reason, many did not obey in the small matters. They saw them as insignificant. Yet most often, it is the seemingly insignificant matters which produce the greatest harvest in this kingdom. The key was your obedience, no matter what the circumstances. Is Charity's name found in the Book of Life?
Yes, my lord.
Charity, do you see the unoccupied throne to my right?
Yes, my lord.
This will be your throne to sit and rule with me for the rest of your life. Come now, and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world.
But Lord, I'm not worthy to rule. There are so many who are more gifted than I.
You shall be a ruler here because of the love you showed me and my people.
Your endurance, loyalty, and humility have secured you this honor. For do you not recall my words from the ancient writings? Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Not only shall you rule with me, but I've also prepared a glorious home for you on the coast of the great sea near my home in the Regal Center.
Oh!
I know how much you love the water and the sound of waves, and so I've granted your desire and delight. I grant each faithful servant their heart's desires.
I'm overwhelmed.
Charity, you shall be a governor over 10 districts in the city, ruling with 11 other governors. You will work closely with me, along with the other rulers in our city who sit on these thrones. These 77 rulers, my father and I, are the ones who plan, forecast, and oversee all of life in Aphabel. You will be one of my trusted advisors and liaisons between my citizens and me. Not only shall you rule with me in this city, but I also give you charge over the 20 cities of the continent of Ben Gila in the Outer Realm, where you shall be Prime Minister. All those who live and lead there shall report to you. You will only report to me. Bring the crown of the overcomer and the scepter of rulership to me. And now, as I place this crown on your head, I say, well done. You are a trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, and so now I entrust you with much. And as I present to you this scepter, I declare that you shall no longer be called Charity, for I give you a new name. You shall be called Cherished Overcomer. Or did I not tell all the citizens of Endel? To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the districts and nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, just as I have received authority from my father. My dear friend and fellow ruler, you may now partake of this fruit from the tree of life here.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's more than that. It makes me feel so clean inside. As if everything is new.
Come with me. Cherished overcomer, turn and face your family. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
That, Peter, is the story of the five friends. My five students.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard a story quite like that.
You've been chosen, Peter, to share this story with others. As warning and as encouragement.
I'm sorry. Did you say chosen?
I must go now. I have counsel with King Jalen and the Founding Father.
Wait. Hold on. You work with the king and his father?
I do. And we have worked with each other since the beginning. Farewell, my young friend. You will do well.
Wait. Sages?
Not the cave again.
Sages! Sages, where are you? Sages! Oh, I wish you wouldn't do stuff like this. Sages! Maybe he's still in the cave. Wait a minute. Where's the cave? It was right here. Where's my recorder? Okay. This one is just for my records. I wonder if what I just experienced is going to have any impact on this world. Only the future will tell. As I look out over the rugged terrain of this mountain, I see a solitary tree. A tree that looks as ancient as the rock itself. Wait a minute. It couldn't be. D-I-S-C-F. The Fire.
Aphabel, Window of Eternity. From the book Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. Our cast included Townsend Coleman, Barry Denon, Julianne Busher, Keith Ferguson, Mark Christopher Lawrence, Bang Spees, Aaron Torpy, Sean Donellan, Bob Hoos, Kim Troby, Diane Ngolia, and John Reese Davis as King Jalen. Our executive producer was John Bevere. Produced and directed by Ellie Bishop and John Fornoff. Associate producer, Bob Hoos. Creative consultant, Mark Andrew Olson. Music by John Campbell. Our sound designers were Alan Hurley, Gap Digital, and John Dorick, with assistance from Nathan Hubler. Adapted for audio drama by John Fornoff. This has been a presentation of Messenger International, a ministry of John and Lisa Bevere. Aphabel, Window of Eternity.
A word of instruction and caution. Through this story, we've glimpsed what eternal judgments will look like. I cannot overstress the fact that the glory of Christ's judgment seat will be much greater than any glory depicted by this story. However, this allegory illustrates many truths reflected in the kingdom of God. The details of this story are not meant to establish truth, rather to amplify and convey it. When Jesus told parables, you saw the points he made through the stories and did not stumble over the minute details that had no real relevance to the truth he was communicating. Even so, I have attempted to carefully stress the important points of this story that have relevance to the eternal kingdom of Christ. By the time you are finished with this book, you will be able to listen to the allegory again and most likely glean even greater depths from the teachings of the scripture relayed in the surrounding chapters. Chapter 3. Eternal Home of the Dead. And when his disciples asked him concerning the meaning of this parable, he said to them, "To you it has been given to, come progressively to, know to recognize and understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and secrets of the kingdom of God." Luke 8, verses 9 and 10, the Amplified Bible. In the next few chapters, we'll focus on the specific truths revealed by the judgments of independent, deceived, faint heart, and double life. We'll then finish the book by discussing selfish and charity and focus on the truths revealed by their lives. The better part of this book will focus on the eternal rewards of those who follow Jesus Christ. foundational truth. In our allegory, Jalen represents Jesus Christ, and the King Father is Almighty God, the Father. Dagon is Satan. Life in Endel represents a human being's life on this earth, and Athabel reflects the heavenly city of God. The forsaken land of Lone represents the lake of fire where every individual without the saving grace of Jesus Christ will spend eternity. Some of the characters represent various scenarios of those who will be forever condemned. God's word makes this very clear. Yes, you heard that correctly. Forever condemned. In preparing to write this message, I struggled with how to bring you, the listener, to the place of being able to relate to what Scripture refers to as eternal judgments. Read carefully the following. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long, long ago. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the Amplified Bible. As you can see, I left out the other five foundational doctrines, some of which are repentance from dead works and faith towards God, in order to emphasize that eternal judgment and punishment are elementary teachings of Christ. One dictionary defines elementary as constituting the basic, essential, or fundamental part. It's the essential part we must have right from the start to build upon. It's a foundation. To understand, consider our education system. In elementary school, we get the basic tools used to further build our education, such as reading, writing, and arithmetic. Lacking these as a foundation, we will never have the ability to develop a proper education. The same is true for believers. If we do not have eternal judgments firmly established in our understanding, then we will not be capable of building a proper life in Christ. It could be compared to trying to advance your education without being able to read, write, add, or subtract. Yet I've discovered after almost 20 years of traveling ministry that many, and I'm including devoted followers of Jesus Christ, are unaware of these issues. Notice the writer states, these are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long, long ago. He didn't say that we are to be acquainted with these issues, but to be fully or completely aware. His words long, long ago only emphasize that these are foundational to our basic faith, as the ability to read and write are to our education. We'll see shortly why eternal judgment is an elementary doctrine we must understand in order to build a healthy Christian life. Keep this in mind as you continue to read. Without this understanding, it may be too difficult to take in what we're about to discuss, and you may succumb to the thought, what's the point? Hell, figurative or real? Before I began to write this book, I wrestled with the thought, how do I communicate to a generation who lives for the day the reality of the eternal decisions that will shortly be made about our lives by the judge of the universe? After several days of struggle, in prayer, another thought arose. I realized that Jesus, to communicate spiritual truths to the minds of human beings, told stories. Thus, the idea of the allegory of Athabel. As I was writing of the judgment of the individuals in Athabel and their lifelong punishment in the land of Lone, I trembled within myself. In fact, I wrote the final part of the previous chapter while flying home one Sunday evening. I preached three times that day. My assistants were sound asleep, but I couldn't stop typing. Upon arriving home well after midnight, I couldn't sleep, fearing for all those who will eventually find themselves in an unspeakably worse situation called the lake of fire. And, according to Jesus, it will be the majority of people who do. Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide, and the road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few people who find it. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, today's English version. While lying in bed that night, I reflected back a couple years to when I was asked to preach the gospel to a top security male prison in South Africa. I remember walking into that dreadful place, witnessing the horrors like terrible smells, revolting living conditions, and cells that held 20 to 30 men with bunks inches from each other. There were even condoms hanging on the walls. I had ministered in several prisons in America, but never had I seen such despairing conditions. Our prisons look like country clubs in comparison. I couldn't imagine living a week in that vile place, let alone for 40 to 50 years. Most of the prisoners were there for life. You could see utter despair on the faces of those who were not believers in Jesus. I could almost hear their thoughts. At least one day, I'll get out of here through death. Yet on the other hand, they were terrified by the unknown reality of dying. It was a very terrible quandary indeed. They were in a complete state of hopelessness. If you lived in the free world, as all of them had, and you were facing this place for the rest of your life, it would be sheer torment. While there, I thought that as horrific as this was, it was beautiful compared to hell. At least these inmates had companions in sunlight streaming through a few barred windows in this prison. In hell, there are neither companions nor light, except for the fire which is never quenched. In the lake of fire, there is no relief forever and ever. Souls will be in perpetual anguish. In hell, the people cannot think, one day I'll get out of this place. They've received eternal punishment. Because it is one of his elementary teachings, Jesus discussed hell frequently, much more often than the subject is mentioned today from pulpits. He didn't see bringing up its description, the torment involved, as well as the fact that it was never ending, as a lack of compassion. Rather, he saw it as essential to reaching us as the Good Shepherd. His addressing and teaching on it, therefore, was motivated by love, since all he did and taught was out of a heart of compassion. So my question is, are we doing the best service to people by not mentioning it from our pulpits today? Is that true love? There are several names given to hell in Scripture. Sheol, in the Old Testament only, Hades, and the grave are a few of the names given to the intermediate chambers of death. Gehenna and the lake of fire are the names given to the eternal hell. We will discuss the difference between the intermediate and the eternal shortly. Scripture tells us hell is a real place, not figurative, as our society has endeavored to promote. In Numbers 16, the earth opened up and three families were physically swallowed into Sheol before a multitude of witnesses. In the New Testament, we are told concerning the Antichrist and his false prophet. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. Revelations 19, verse 20, Amplified Bible. They didn't die with just their souls taken to this place. Rather, their physical bodies and souls were cast into the lake of fire. Lazarus and the rich man. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells of an actual incident involving a rich man who lived entirely for himself, neglecting a beggar daily laid before his house. We know this is not a parable because Jesus opens the story with, "There was a certain rich man." Second, he uses Abraham's name and gives a specific name to the beggar, Lazarus. It was not customary for Jesus to give names or mention actual people in his parables. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which was the holding area of comfort for the Old Testament saints until Jesus made the way for them to come into the presence of God in heaven. The rich man died and found himself in Hades.